Welcome back, Survivor fans. This is episode 5 of Survivor Philippines, the 25th season in the running reality show greatness that is Survivor. I did it again. I was like so trying to like pace myself.
This didn't work. We should just go. We should just go straight into our usual 3 minutes of non-Survivor chat. And
instead of me trying to fumble my way through the intro.
Yeah. You know, I think we should actually just take a page out of PTI. You know, do you still watch PTI?
Yeah, no. Just ask a question.
Well, no. I was going to say, you know, Kornheiser's brought back an old joke of theirs, which is at the going into the last segment, the Happy Happy segment, when they come back from commercial, he's talking to Wilbon, telling some sort of, very private story. Or whatever, and then it's suddenly oh, the cameras are on? Why didn't you tell me? And so I think we should just start with that now. We should just turn on the mics and we're just mid conversation, and sooner or later we get to some Survivor.
I'm sure that'd be a wonderful way to just kick off. I'm sure whoever tunes in will just hear a bunch of random chatter, be like, oh,
what is
clearly
this
is
oh
exactly what I subscribed for.
Right. Oh, whoops. I downloaded the weekly catch-up phone call.
Yeah.
Chris and Ralph's weekly check-in.
I guess we should get down to business.
Yeah.
We should really talk about it. I mean, we've made our listeners wait this long. We should not keep them any longer. On behalf of Chris, I would like to apologize for the delays. We are much busier this year than we've been in years past.
And, indeed.
It's just caused us to postpone, so... Hopefully your Thursday nights were not ruined by not having the pod up.
Wait, Ralph, you mean your week isn't built around podcasting about Survivor?
You know, without the ad revenue that we have yet to receive from sponsorship, I cannot prioritize.
I'm telling you, we gotta just start sending out invoices. Just send invoices to Sears for the Craftsman sponsorship.
There was an axe this episode. We're gonna talk about it.
That's right, that's true.
All right, so, you know, back to our favorite tribe of losers, Matt Singh. And I honestly expected Denise to cuddle up to Malcolm, and Malcolm just kind of allow it to happen. I kind of expected that. It really seemed like it was heading that way.
I that would have been a little weird, I think.
In a good way. Weird in a good way.
No, I don't know about a good way.
Some
I don't think
that's
a good
cougary way. Goodness there. You have the sex therapist.
She's not a cougar. She's I don't know. Well, I need something more muscular than a cougar. I need something that's 0% body fat.
She is buff for a 40-year-old.
Yeah,
very buff, and not in a weird Madonna-y kind of way. Just buff.
Yeah, well, because Madonna, she still tries to go for the traditionally sexy stuff as well, whereas,
Have you seen her pipes, though? Seriously, it's
No, I mean, in general with her looks, though. Whereas, Denise seems to be much more just, embracing the chiseledness that is her entire body.
Even the Body Works, you know what I'm talking about? The one where they, preserve, human bodies and all the different muscles and...
Oh, yeah.
That's what Madonna
Body
looks
Worlds,
like.
You mean.
Body Worlds, yeah, whatever. Body Worlds. She yeah. like it's like the skin is stretched over one of those exhibits. It's bad.
Indeed.
So they decide, the clue that they get for the reward challenge sounds like a merge or some sort of mix-up. So they decide, perhaps now is a good time to look for that hidden immunity idol.
Yeah.
And, of course, the CBS cameraman does his best job of trying to point his camera at it at all times.
Right. I mean, this is now the recipe, right? If you go on the show and you start, first thing you do, start looking for the immunity idol. Second thing you do, look at all of the angles they're taking on you and be like, okay, what is in the line of sight here? You need to piece it all together. Like I said, ask for the dailies, see if you can see what's there.
Well, I have to say, it was, I guess I'm glad they didn't not find it.
Oh, yeah, that would have been just depressing if they didn't find
it. That would have been really depressing.
I mean, as it is, they end up getting put just split up and put on.
Yeah, marooned on separate tribes.
Appendixed onto separate tribes, and which is, you know, enough of a death sentence as it is. At least Malcolm now has that hidden immunity idol to be able to play with as well.
Right, and I think the idol, and also the fact that those two tribes have not forged their alliances in tribal council,
yeah,
gives them a fighting chance.
It does. Yeah, that's true. We talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago.
Talk about it. You know, the alliances aren't forged until
you actually have to vote.
Put a marker to paper.
Right. I'm thrilled that separate challenges are back.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. But obviously, with the three tribes set up, they kind of needed more time to kind of examine each tribe. But, you know, it's always better when tribes experience highs and lows of two challenges per episode instead of just one. Because, you know, even a loss and a reward challenge can cause distress that you know, influences tribal dynamics. And if there's one thing, Chris, that we've been missing this season, it's distress and tribal dynamics.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been missing a lot of things. That's the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah. The reward challenge I thought was interesting enough. Each player had a little pedestal that they had to hold on to with a statue on it, and it was man-to-man, you know, knock yours off before I knock mine off. But more importantly, it was yours needs to stay off the ground
longer
than mine does.
Right. You're being very generous with this challenge. I thought this challenge blew.
I enjoyed it. I thought until the strategy of pop it in the air started happening, I found it.
I was just waiting for that. The second he said, the second that Jeff said on the first challenge, I forget who it was. It was Malcolm against, I can't remember who, but they both kind of fell at the same time. And he was like, "Well, so and so's hit the ground first."
It was Jeff Kent.
Oh, against Kent. Yeah, that's right. So he's like, well, you know, Malcolm's hit the ground first. And I like, the second he said that, I think it wasn't until the third or fourth challenge that Scoopin employed the, like, launch it into the air and then just tackle the other guy technique.
Yeah.
And I was just waiting for that. I was surprised it took that long because, like, that was my first thought. I was like, okay, I just have to make sure that when mine comes off my platter, it just has to go straight up in the air. And that's what makes it a really dumb challenge. And it's kind of piss poor that nobody... I shouldn't say nobody, but Scoopin was the first to employ that technique, and then after that, nobody else used it for another three matches. Like, someone else used it a little bit later, but like,
I have it down as both Denise and Malcolm both used it after that.
Okay, but there were like four or five matches after Scoopin went.
Yeah,
so it was like that clearly is the best technique. Like, toss yours high in the air, tackle the other person.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I guess the thing I liked about it is just the... Although we're going to have more of it next week, but, you know, just that it's one-to-one and, you know...
That's true. I do. Yeah, the one-on-ones are fun. They create a little more animosity and drama.
Yeah. You know, Abby played, so that's good.
Right. Abby played, and she also, you know, once again found something to just fly off the handle about.
Right.
Because, like, she got, like, hit in the face or something.
Right. Maybe you shouldn't put the face between the thing and your opponent.
Yeah, that's true.
If you don't want that to happen, maybe that's the case. Yeah. I don't know. Okay, anyway.
And if I'm not mistaken, Carter really sucked in this challenge. I feel like, whoever he was against didn't even have to do anything. Like, just sort of, like, fell off.
Carter was trying to, like... float like a butterfly and sting like a bee, but he was ineffective.
Stung himself.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I guess in hindsight it wasn't his dream, but I guess I was kind of like, I just enjoyed that it wasn't like a lot of the stuff we've been seeing to this point. But
you know,
I'm just grabbing for straws for anything this season so far.
Sure, indeed.
So afterwards, Penner points out that, like, he was upset that he had not gotten Malcolm and that Tandang would have a physical advantage, and that manifested itself in the artist versus Dana matchup where, you know, eventually there was going to be a guy versus girl.
Right.
Where Tandang had a guy, and I thought Red did a good job of just sort of surrendering that one, because it's like, why try to send Dana against anyone else, because she's going to have a reach disadvantage against everyone, so you might as well make it the worst one.
Oh, you know what I'm saying? I see. I would have thought, although I guess that's probably a better line of thinking, I would have thought, like, Dana is just, in general, the like, she just strikes me as just a much more capable competitor in general. Like,
than, like, Katie?
Than Katie. And so, yeah, so you're better off having putting Dana in a match she can win.
Yeah.
And putting a true, like, a full-on, just, like, someone who's just a klutz up against Artis. Or who? Artis? Artemis?
Artis.
Artis? Okay. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think it ultimately mattered a whole lot.
I guess, Jim. No, yeah, this thing was going to go the way it was going to go. So, all right. I mean, I guess we haven't really talked about the split. You know, Denise ended up with the Red Calabao tribe. Malcolm ended up with Tendang. And, you know, we go into the next little tribe visit mode. And Pete and Malcolm have already, you know, started broing together.
Right, yeah, they bonded really quickly, and Pete is, like, just, like, he's just handing out info. He's Wikipedia, man. He's like, he's Wikipedia.
Wow, how long have you been waiting a day and a half to drop
pun.
That?
It's a pun.
You've been waiting a day and a half to drop that?
Actually, no, that was on the fly right there. Hmm. I mean, he's just handing out information, like, for free. He has no reason to reveal that they have an idol. He has absolutely no reason to do that.
He's Ask Pete. Would you say
You are reaching, bro? You are reaching.
When I mean, that's what the season is. It's season 25. Reach for things.
So little
to
talk about.
Oh,
if you're still listening to the podcast, it's a small miracle.
Let's go. meanwhile, on the red team, Katie is excited that she has numbers for her female tribe now.
Yeah. That was the tribe that was split along gender lines, it looked like.
Yeah, sadly, she gets a big old wrench in the works.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seems a little selfish to lament your alliance when someone is clearly suffering, but in
this
case...
That came out of nowhere, too, I feel like, that... Like, Dana's abdominal pain. Like, I feel like she seemed fine during that challenge. And then, like, out of nowhere, like, she just went south.
Well, I think everyone is getting destroyed by the cold rain.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. Like, when it's cold and rainy,
yeah.
it's just mind against the environment in that case, you know? And in this case, her body gave out and her mind kind of followed, so...
Yeah. I feel like this was a really big turning point for the whole season, though. I mean, not that there's a ton of drama or anything like that, but, like...
So, if Dana stays in, who goes home if Red lost?
Well, probably one of the... I don't know, actually, because it seems like Denise could go either way.
Yep.
But at least with Dana around, there was a chance that Denise goes along gender lines. And then on top of it, it's a different challenge at immunity as well, because they're not sitting Abby,
uh-huh.
Who clearly is just a klutz or something and is uh-huh. incapable of performing challenges. Otherwise,
yeah. She would have, like, struggled like Katie did.
Yeah, exactly. So for tribe balance and for alliance balance within the Red Tribe. This was a big turning point, I think. You know, this very much swings everything in favor of the guys within the Red and in favor of the Yellow Tribe. So.
Oh, because they were already down and now they're down two.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I totally see that.
Like,
totally see that.
Conceivably, if this doesn't happen to Dana, it's instead 7-6 Red instead of 7-5 Yellow. Like, that's a three-person swing right there.
Yeah, potentially. You're absolutely right. I completely see that.
Yeah.
You know, for Denise, you know, she does, I mean, at least after the challenge, kind of side with the guys, but I see her point that she may have done it anyways. I mean, you know, for her and Malcolm, the strategy, at least in my opinion, should be keep whatever tribe I'm on as strong as possible in the challenges. so there are fewer votes that I have to go to,
which,
you know, increases my chances of sticking around.
Right.
Instead of saying, well, I feel more solid with a girls' alliance. And taking the low fourth role on the guys' alliance, I think, keeps her stronger and her tribe stronger than hanging out with the girls.
Right. And if they can make it, if they can make it to the merge, then it's, you know, it's kind of anybody's game there, I think.
Right. So for Malcolm and Denise,
if they both can make it, if there's only one of them that makes it, I think it's a little trickier. But if they both can make it, like, then they both, I think, have a good chance of making it far.
Yeah.
Just because they will, if for no other reason than because they will trust each other so much more deeply than any other pair of people in the game.
They've been through a lot.
They've been through a lot together.
They've been through a lot. They have their connection tested multiple times. Uh-huh. You know,
and despite being split up onto different tribes, I think the second they come back together, you know, they will pick up right where they left off and will adhere to each other more than anybody else that they voted with.
Yeah. Which one did you pick as your horse?
I don't remember.
Malcolm?
I think it was the two of them were my...
Yeah, no, they were.
...were my horses. I think I went with Malcolm... but I don't recall. We'll have to go back and listen to the tapes.
Yeah. I don't think they're in any worse position than they were before. Like, actually, they're probably better than they were as a tribe of two. Better off.
Well,
now.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Which is odd.
Especially Denise, because Malcolm is a whiz at making fire. Because didn't he make it like in a heartbeat?
Yeah, at the new camp he did.
At the first, that too. But I also mean in the first episode he did as well, I think. So if they had gone to tribal council again as a tribe of two, you know, odds are it's a fire making challenge, which heavily favors Malcolm.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Probst is with Dana. And medical's saying, "Oh yeah, she can go another 12 hours. She's writhing on the ground and just
that
like,
was
well,
awful. I felt
it's
really
on
bad
you,
for her.
And it was really awkward.
Yeah, that's really rough that she gets that decision thrust back on her.
And he kept bringing up like, we're not going to take you out unless medical says so. So you got to take yourself out. Is this something you want on you?
And right."
God, it was like, it was so insult to injury. It was brutal.
Yeah. I mean, especially when you're in that much pain. Like, you know, it'd be one thing if you at least waited until, like, you know, if you forced her to stay in the... I mean, you can't force anyone to stay in the game.
No.
But at least withheld the question until, you know, until the weather turned. And at least it, like, you felt better just from having sun on you and some vitamin D or whatever that it is that...
I mean,
the sun helps
you produce. I'm sure it goes from like, you know, 60s and raining to like, you know, 90s and sunny, you know,
right.
That quickly. So I'm sure it's just such a different environment between those two things.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the immunity challenge.
Well, I thought one thing what I felt was interesting is that, like, the Red Tribe, like, I was impressed with how, like, it seemed like they had like a nice sort of touching moment with her there, before she. Like, actually exited. Like, when they surrounded her after...
Would you
like
expect different?
No, but, like... Well, I mean, you could have seen some, like, you know, people... Like, who was the person who was aligned with Colton when he went out last season? Like, I feel like the person that was aligned with Colton last season, like showed absolutely no pity for Colton when he went out. Like, they were just like, this
different.
Screws me. Well, but they were aligned with Colton. Colton went out with appendicitis. Like, he was, like, legit, like, we gotta take you out. Like, they pulled him.
You're gonna die within hours if we don't pull you out.
Right.
Right. You're right. The reaction was, man, I'm so boned.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Although, on the other hand, I also...
Wasn't it the teacher from Chicago?
Yeah, I think it was. I can't remember her name. I also wondered if the Red Tribe fully comprehended that it was Dana's choice. Like, I think the way Jeff put it when he brought them around, like, the way he put it, it did not make it clear that Dana was choosing to withdraw from the game. Whereas, which I think changes things, you know, like, people would have reacted differently. And he put it much more clearly when they were at the immunity challenge. But nobody seemed to react to it. So I guess maybe they did. They did. They were aware, but because I was sort of anticipating like a quick look, like wait a minute, I thought they pulled her or something, you know. Didn't seem to happen.
Oh, when he mentioned it at the mats.
Yeah, at the mats, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, I got you. So speaking of the mats, we arrive at the immunity challenge, and it's obstacles, rope nets, and chopping, and drawbridges, and puzzle pieces. And
right.
Jeff really took Katie to task on this.
He took them both. He took both her and Abby to task. I mean, Abby sits out like almost every challenge. She's participated in two challenges.
Two challenges. The first one, and the last reward challenge.
Exactly. The only two where there was no option to sit anybody.
Correct.
She literally has sat every time there's been a chance to sit.
However, you could say that in the long game, she can honestly say, I've clearly shown that I'm not a threat in challenges. You know, in terms of reasons to not vote her out, that's a pretty good card.
I don't know. Like, that's almost, I feel like that's,
she's,
like...
She's in alliance with Pete, right?
But this
so it's
is,
like...
But you're not, she's not shown that she's not a threat in challenges. She's shown that given the opportunity to not participate,
she won't
participate. Like, so all she's demonstrated is when the challenge comes around where you offer food or play for immunity, I'll take the food. That's what we know we'll get out of it. You know, like we have no idea if she's bad in challenges. She's played twice. That's not a book. That's a novelette.
So okay, you're Pete. Then how do you feel about your partner that doesn't play? Like, does that bother you? Like. Is it something you're concerned about? Like you said, you know, when it comes time to win immunity,
I think
she's just going to fold.
I think
and
Pete's
just take
setting
food.
Up his next move. I think he's already setting up his next move with Malcolm. Like he's got himself a bro there. That, I mean, the two of them could not be, you know, more bro-y with each other.
Yeah.
I mean, you get two like 24-year-old
very
guys.
Bromantic.
Yeah, and Abby is like. Showering him with reasons to cut her loose, you know, because she flips out every time somebody, you know, looks at her from the wrong angle. So I think he's setting up his next move, you know, which is once they eventually get rid of RC, which seems to be the first play that's going to come.
Yeah. And then,
Abby may be next. I think he might try to keep scooping and then get rid of Abby, depending on how close to emerge they feel like they are. I think if they're close to emerge, you might get rid of Scoopin' first. So as to not have to worry about Scoopin' in challenges. I think Abby's going to get cut loose pretty quickly. And he's going to have to do it somewhat soon so that he can blindside her because she's got that idol.
Right.
But the good news is he knows about it, and so he can totally he can really blindside her, but he has to do it sooner rather than later, because otherwise, you know, she'll start to feel the urge to use it just so that it doesn't go to waste.
Do you try to get it out of her hands before you blindside her? Like, or do you
no?
Because
that'll
your...
I think. Are you kidding me? I mean, like anybody else on that island, maybe, but her, like Madame Paranoia, no.
That's
like
a good
this.
Name.
I mean, she's just
right.
The second you try to do anything along those lines, she's gonna sniff it out. I mean, she sniffs out things that aren't coming. Like if it is coming, like she's gonna just have a total meltdown. She'll play it before you even get to tribal council. She'll just start wearing it around, you know.
And just like cursing you out in Brazilian, like in Portuguese.
Exactly.
So yeah, Yellow wins it by a slim margin.
Yeah, I thought Petter was going to pull it out. It did look like Dawson kind of held him back a little there, like fumbling with the pieces. Like clearly Petter was dialed in and knew what he needed. Like at that point, just get out of the way. Don't even try to, like,
yeah.
either you have him tell you what to do or you get out of the way.
Yeah, but Dawson's not like that.
What do you mean?
She's stubborn. She's very much like about doing it her way.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah,
Dawson was your horse, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was my horse. I mean, I feel terrible that A, that she's gone. B, that I overestimated her because she seemed more of a sharp than she ended up being. She seemed very kind of que sera, sera at the end. And...
yeah, although it was like... so towards the end there, like, you know, now they're going to have to go vote. And so she's sweating it a little bit. And she starts to do these sort of things to lure Jeff Kent out. You know, with her little, like, I should date an athlete, but, like, a baseball player's not really an athlete. And, like, I loved that.
Except it was a good time.
Except that she, if she needs to, if she's going to do it, she needs to just go for it. Like, she did the worst thing. As much as I loved what she was trying to do, she needed to go all the way with it. Because doing it halfway was the worst thing she could do. Because she does it halfway, and now what she does is she gets Jeff's attention, and Jeff starts sweating her. And so that makes Jeff want to get rid of her. So you need to either not do it at all, so that you're not drawing Jeff's ire, or you need to go all the way and just fully pull back the curtain on him so that people feel like he's not trustworthy and they vote him out.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It was a misplay at the time, and given the crisis that her quote-unquote alliance was experiencing, it was the right time to play that card. Like, you know, you have to take the advantages while you have them, and if you blow it early, you blow it early, but at least you blew it, but you're not walking away...
yeah,
having that card in your pocket.
Yeah, exactly. She's walking away with an ace in the hole, and that was just foolish.
Yeah, and her whole confessional was like, "Oh, Jeff Kent owes me this and that." Well no, you did this to yourself. Jeff Kent nothing to you. You did nothing for Jeff Kent. Like, come
you
on,
hung yourself out to dry. Even and in fact, interesting. Even even Katie voted for Dawson, so she sort of sniffed. I think she sniffed it out as to what was happening. And then we had our moment. Our moment at Tribal Council. Did you not... you noticed this, I'm sure, right?
Hang on.
Dawson with Probst?
Oh, yeah, where she goes in for the smooch?
Well, but before that, like...
the awkward pause?
Like, awkward pause? That wasn't an awkward pause. That was like... that was an awkward, like, intermission. Like, it was so pregnant, that pause. Like, she just sort of stood there and just sort of, like, it was, actually, did you watch Parks and Rec this week yet?
I think so. I think I watched it with, oh, was it last night? I didn't see it.
Last night. Oh, okay. No. Well, people who've already seen Parks and Rec will know what I'm talking about, and you will eventually.
Okay.
But, like, she just sort of, like, like, you didn't even know quite what was happening. Like, if she was staring at him or if she was just dialed off into space. And just, like, zoned out or what? It was so strange. And then...
I'm going to go ahead and guess that Dawson was having mental sex with Jeff Probst at that moment.
At the very least, I mean...
That must have been a fantasy for her.
She may have... That pause was long enough. She may have gotten all the way to giving birth to their child. like, that, she may have gone conception all the way to birth.
Yeah.
That was something else. I'm amazed, like... I'm amazed that this is now that I think about it, that this is the first time it's happened in 25 seasons. I mean, you know, we've had, what, on average, 16, 18 participants per season, so that's 8 or 9 women per season. That's, you know, nearly...
a handful of gay men.
225 women. Right. So you trade out as many lesbians for gay men that might be... attracted to men, like this is the first person who, you know, decided to soak in the moment of being that close to Jeff Probst. I guess is actually maybe against the odds. I don't know. I mean, what, Jerry Manthe ended up dating him, right? Actually, he's dated a few ex contestants, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, Jeff.
But he definitely dated Jerry Manthe right after, like soon after. Survivor
Heroes
Australia.
Which,
Australia. No, the original. Back when she was like 20-something, not when she was like... actually, she's kind of a little bit of a Madonna thing going on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. She's looking good. She's taking care of herself.
Yeah. And you know what? I wonder if... I don't know if this is... I don't know if they've been listening to our podcast there or what.
They're always listening.
But the music was different. Did you notice?
I did not.
The music was different, and I don't know... I'm not sure if it was in an effort to, like, emphasize the weird moment, because it happened right when they normally transition to the da-da-dun-dun-dun-dun, and instead, I don't even know what it was. I haven't heard it enough times to have developed my own little reenactment. It may have just been to emphasize the awkward, strange moment that was coming. But at the very least, I like this music better than the old stuff that they've been doing. You know, we're not back to the O's, but it's better.
Well, I'm glad you found your peace with the music at the end.
Yeah, it's a happy medium. They met me halfway, and I appreciate it.
All right, I think we've run the course here.
We have. We've squeezed every last drop out of the rock that was this episode.
Now, Chris, where can they find us online?
Online, they can tweet us. The handle is @TribalPodcast. They can find our RSS feed at tc.vanb.net, and they can email us at podcast@tc.vanb.net.
You know, I lost my horse this week, so I'm going to go ahead and resubmit a horse for Jonathan Penner. I know he's on the minority tribe, but I think physically he's got some stuff, and puzzle-wise he's really solid, so... I'm throwing my hat back in the ring with Penner.
You're going with Penner, who, by the way, close your eyes and you'd swear Alan Alda was on this show.
Yeah, I totally see that.
I have to credit Stacy for that one, by the way.
No, that's solid. That's a good pull, Stacy. All right, until next time, guys. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.